All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, August 1st of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have golf underway. We have the Olympic slate started earlier this morning, and then we have a five-game MLB slate later this evening. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But let's get SaberSim pulled up here. See a couple people in the chat. What is up, Philip? What is up, Andy? And we will get some questions loaded up here for office hours. Do want to remind you guys that we do have our build review show at 5 p.m. Eastern today. And right now we only have one person on the list to review. So usually we can get to like about five people during that show. So if anybody tuning in here wants to participate, we do have some room open. So I would drop your username in the Office Hours channel in the Discord, and we will cover your build and give you some personalized advice. But with that, so let's start with the questions that came in Discord here. So got two questions. First one, I've started using the aggregate function after running my contest sims. I set an aggregate for min ROI, average ROI, and max ROI for both my field sim and my build sim. I saw this method during a video with Jordan and Chris when he was on that heater win with 520K wins. My question is, what do I do with that data, and how do I know if I have a good build? Do I want a higher average ROI than the field, a higher max, or a higher min? What type of alterations can I make to improve my ROI against the field? From yesterday's slate, okay, this is a second question. So let's stop here. So I think that, you know, the aggregate metrics are very good indicators as to whether you've made too many changes to your lineups and maybe you need to tone that back down, right? So the hard part here is, you know, you're changing min and max exposures, you're changing min uniques, right? You can see the exposures change, right? You could see your exposure percentages move up and down. You could see your leverage move up and down. But prior to aggregate metrics, it was very hard to kind of interpret what effect that was having on the success of your portfolio as a whole, or kind of what impact it was having on, you know, maybe your projected score, maybe your ROI for your, you know, whole 150 set, right? Like, it's hard to look at 150 lineups and kind of know. Before, what we would recommend is like kind of a, you're only as strongest as your weakest link approach, where you would, you know, kind of look at the last lineup in your set and, you know, base your changes off of how that last lineup ultimately graded out, right? So that was kind of all we had. We didn't really have anything to look at your 20 lineups, your 150 lineups in a nutshell, right? But now we kind of do. And so I think that, you know, it makes a good data point, something to look at as you make changes, whether or not these changes are having a I was saying where to stop with those adjustments, right? So we have a build here. We have a contest sim. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go and we'll just act like, you know, we're sorting by this contest sim, right? So I'm going to go sort by the contest risk adjusted ROI. I'm going to come into the aggregate metrics. I'm going to add one. I like to do average projection. I like to do the average ROI of the contest, and then I like to do the minimum. This is what I kind of prefer to do here. These are ones that I've seen users using through the builder views. These are, you know, I like to do the projected score. I've seen some of these ROI ones. I think they're pretty intuitive. So I like this, right? And the reason I like this is because as I increase menu links, as I change exposures, you know, I'm going to get a better idea of where the biggest impact is. Am I moving, you know, 5% ROI? Am I moving 20% ROI? Or is my ROI staying the same, right? And I'm able to kind of figure out where I should stop, right? So like from mini uniques of 1 to mini uniques of 3, I basically stayed right around 158% ROI on average across my 20 lineups. But then when I went from mini unique of 3 to 4, my ROI went down about 7%. So there is some difference between playing mini uniques of 3 and playing mini uniques of 4, right? Now, if I go further, from 4 to 5, we drop 5%, not as much as the 7 that we saw prior. From 5 to 6, we see the biggest change. We go down 13% ROI. Now, ROI is good to have, right? Because our projection is going up. So if you only add projection, you're going to be like, okay, you know, I'm still playing, you know, overall good projection. We see projection is important in the post-contest sims, but this additional aggregate metric shows you, because if you only had projection, you might say, okay, mini unique of 5, my average projection is 92.0. But then at mini unique of 6, my average projection is 92.5. And I know that projection is important, so I'm okay with this, right? But when you look at the ROI, you know, okay, we were at 146% average ROI. We went down to 133%. You know, there was a pretty significant change to the ROI going from 5 to 6 that you would have not otherwise seen if you didn't have this metric. And then at least I can know that, hey, my last lineup in my set is still well above positive, right? I think that, you know, you just want to make sure that you're always playing positive ROI lineups. So that's what this minimum option shows you. But I would, you know, I would take those inputs and say, okay, this change was pretty significant. I should really look at the impact that it had on my exposures to make sure to see if I'm okay with 6 or 5. And then what I would do here is kind of work backwards. Like, okay, hey, now what are my exposures? Okay. Batter at 40, batter at 35, batter at 30%, pitcher at 50, pitcher at 35, at mini unique of 6. Okay, great. But what if we go up to mini unique of 5? How does that affect it, right? And here we see a lot more concentrated batters, right? 75% Wilson Contreras, 60% Paul Goldschmidt, 55% Nolan Arenado. Like if it was me, I'd be like, you know what? Losing that 13% average ROI is a little bit better than being so heavily concentrated on a particular set of batters. And like that is my own risk tolerance that I'm using to make that determination. So it depends if that decision makes sense to you or not. And that's kind of something you have to answer for yourself. But that is the thought process that I'm going through. And then you could decide whatever road you want to take, but you should still end up at the same intersection asking yourself the same question. All right. Follow up here from Philip said, awesome. I think I get it now. And after you do all that, your final filter is risk adjusted ROI. If everyone is doing this, how can we be different enough to avoid dupes? So yeah, your sorting metric is always going to be risk adjusted ROI. You're highly, highly unlikely to dupe in a classic MLB slate here. And the reason for that is because when you're on your build settings, we're using sim mode by default. This is where we are randomly sampling a certain number of sims from each game on the slate to create a slate simulation. So what's happening here is we have, you know, 5,000 game sims of each game on the slate. We'll say we need, you know, based on your sim diversity is how many sims we're going to take. The higher sim diversity, the less sims we take, the lower it is, the more sims we take. Let's say we need 5 sims, right? So we need to take 5 out of 5,000 for game 1, 5 out of 5,000 for game 2. And then, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We run the slate simulation. We build the best lineup. We put that lineup in your pool and we do the same process again. Well, the amount of combinations available of 5 out of 5,000 is exponentially high. And then you take that to the power of 5 or however many games are on the slate, and this number becomes so massive. So even if, you know, you're using SaberSim, I'm using SaberSim, we run a build at the same time, you're unlikely to get the same lineup as someone else. And unless you're using optimizer mode, right? Optimizer mode, what this is doing is it's building the highest projected lineups first, and then building the second highest projected, third highest, fourth highest. So in that case, we could end up with the same lineup if we were using optimizer mode, because it's solving a mathematical equation and there's only, you know, one right answer to a mathematical problem such as that. But with sim mode, highly unlikely. At the end of the day, even if you're playing a dupe format sport, you're no more likely, and in my opinion, to do, like, you shouldn't be thinking, okay, I need to avoid dupe with SaberSim users. Like, no, if it's a dupe format, you just need to avoid dupes across the entire contest. You need to be conscious of dupes, but you don't need to be conscious of SaberSim dupes, if that makes sense. Like, you should be thinking about duplication as a whole, as opposed to like segmenting it out. Good question, though. All right. Going to hit our next question here. Question says, from yesterday's slate, I created 5,000 lineups and got rid of all the negative ROI lineups, which left me with 3,507 lineups. When sorted by actual, I would have had a lineup that would have taken down a tournament. My question is, when I download all those lineups in Excel, what should I be looking for in the data? Good question here. So, you know, at the end of the day, if we knew what lineups were going to score the highest, obviously we would put those at the top of your pool, right? So it's not like we're, you know, burying your highest actual like deeper down. So there's a couple things that come into play here. Number one is it's great. Talk about our DFS profit plan, where you are playing a mix of single entry and 3 max and 20 max and 150 max, with 20 max and 150 max being the bigger portion of that portfolio, right? Single entry and 3 max, we say like 25 to 50% of your bankroll nightly allocation, but then 20 max and 150 max, 50 to 75%, right? So you could be playing up to 75% of your bankroll allocation in these 20 max and 150 max contests. And the reason for that is because we want you to get more lineups in play. We want you to play more and more lineups. And the reason for that is because if you are building a strong pool of lineups, the more lineups you play from that pool, the quicker you're going to realize the equity in your pool, right? If you know you're only playing 13 lineups and you have 3,507, you know, it might take you a while to find the one in your pool that's going to win. But if you're playing 200, 300 lineups, well, you know, if you keep building strong pools, if your process is good, you are going to get to that outcome where you play that lineup quicker. Now, the only thing that can really stop you from doing that, which, you know, I would figure out where that lineup is in your pool, right? So let's say that, you know, you sort by actual, you find the lineup. Well, then you go back to the sorting metric you used and you got to kind of figure out, okay, where is this lineup? And if this lineup is a little bit further in your pool, a little bit deeper, sometimes there's nothing you could do about that, right? Sometimes that just happens. But if the lineup is closer to the top, but you are skipping the lineup, right? Let's say it's lineup, you know, 202 and you are making a lot of tweaks, making a lot of adjustments. You're having to go deeper and deeper into your pool to find lineups that match the requests that you're making. Maybe you're making too many changes, right? And at that point, I would consider making less changes because you might end up be pushing yourself too far into your pool, playing lineups that don't grade out as well and skipping some of those lineups that grade up higher. So grade out higher. So I would take some time and figure have I just not played them yet? Or, you know, am I making too many adjustments where I am hurting my own lineups? And that is what I would spend your time doing, but I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about it. Keep playing, you know, follow the profit plan, play strong contest selection and get more lineups in play while still being bankroll conscious is going to be one of the best things you can do in this case. All right. Question here in the YouTube chat. Does loading your own projections help diversity? So the way that loading your own projections works is, let's say that, you know, we have Charlie Morton at 17 points. Let's say you load your own projections, custom projection set, and it has him at 20. So what we will do in that case is, you know, when we go and run our sims and pull, you know, so many game sims from each game on the slate, like we talked about. And let's say that, you know, your average projection is 3 points higher than ours, right? So what we will do is every time Charlie Morton scores 5 points, he scores 8. Every time he scores 17, he scores 20. Every time he scores 30, he scores 33. So what we're doing is we are effectively shifting his distribution. So you see his range of outcomes here. So the summary of his fantasy points across our simulations, we are taking this distribution, we are moving it to, in this case, the right by 3 points, and we are accounting for your custom projection in that way. So, you know, custom projections can definitely lead to different outcomes. It just depends how, you know, different they are from the sets that are, or from our baseline projections. So, you know, what you can do is like, hey, run like a default build, see what your projections are, run a second build with your projections as opposed to the Saber Sim and see what the differences in exposure are. And that will kind of help you to get a sense of how much of an impact those projection adjustments are having. All right. Good questions so far. Gonna jump into the next question that came in Discord. I see Jim said he would like to have his build reviewed. Jim, I will mark you down here and we will get you on the list for today. Appreciate you participating. All right. Got a question here from PTZ. Question says, the update mentions that the number of entries affects the contest sim ROI calculation. How does the size of the contest influence this impact, and what should users be mindful of when entering larger versus smaller contests? So the contest size is always going to matter. And, you know, that gets accounted for in your contest sim settings here. So if you go and create a contest sim, you're going to see the contest size, right? And if you are creating contest sims from the contest tab, well, you know, when I come in here and I right click on this contest and I add the contest sim, we're automatically filling that, right? The biggest things to note with this concept is that if you go to our field lineup sources and you open any one of them up here, you're going to see that for our MLB Classic field lineups, that these lineups, so let's go take another contest here. Let's take the flagship, right? $15, 150 max, $13,725. So even though this contest has 13,725 entries, we are simulating the contest with the payout structure as if it only has 10,000. So that is the biggest thing to be aware of when playing larger contests, is that even if a contest has more entries, we are simulating it as if it only has 10,000, because that is how many field lineups we have. So, you know, we have been slowly increasing the size of our field lineups. I think for NFL Showdown, it's up to 20,000. For some sports, it's 10,000. For some other sports, it's a little bit smaller, I think, like MMA. So it really just depends. But that is the biggest thing to be aware of when entering larger contests. And then when you're entering smaller contests, let's say you're playing this, you know, 400 entry contest. So the way, what we do is we will randomly sample 400 lineups from the 10,000 and then simulate out the contest. And then that's for contest sim one. And then, you know, we're doing that 100,000 times. So every single time we're doing that, we are taking a new set of 400 lineups from the 10,000 and then running the contest sim. So over such a large sample, the ownership smooths out there. But within each contest sim, the ownership can vary. And that's good because ownership does vary, right? Ownership doesn't come in exactly at what the projections say. There is some ownership variance. So that accounts for it. So those are your big differences between large contests and small contests when it comes to the contest sim. All right. Good question there. And taking a peek here. So looking at the YouTube chat, looks like we are all caught up there. Looking at the Office Hours channel, looks like we're all caught up there. So think we're all set here for today. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here at 5 p.m. Eastern in about 40 minutes here to do our build review show. We have two names on the list so far. If you want to have your build review, drop your name in the Office Hours channel and Discord, and I will add you to the list. But I will see you all very, very soon. So until then, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.